Hi, this is Rick Warren, Bible teacher for the Daily Hope broadcast. Did you know that because of Easter, your past can be forgiven, you get a purpose for living, and you can have a home in heaven? That's good news. Where else can you get that kind of news? Nowhere else. And did you know that at Easter, studies have shown people are more open to an invitation to go to church than at any other time of the year? Don't go to church by yourself, but bring somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ. A family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a relative. And if you bring them to that church service and they come to know Christ, you're going to be making a friend for eternity. It'll be the most important investment you can ever make in their lives. And by the way, if they come to Christ, would you let me know about it? I'd love to hear that story that you brought somebody to Easter and they found Jesus. You can write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. I would love to hear from you. God bless you and happy Easter.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we continue with a special Easter series, How the Resurrection Gives Us Hope. In these lessons, Pastor Rick will share the six reasons why the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us far more hope than anything else the world has to offer. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that you can take with you wherever you go. It will provide practical answers to any dilemma facing you. It's a book by Pastor Rick called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. You can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called There Is Nothing More For You To Do.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, God's Son paid the price. God's Son paid the price to free us, which means that our sins are forgiven. Which sins are forgiven? All of them. All of them. Every single one of them. Just to have it all wiped off, to have your debt paid off by somebody else, that's an amazing thing that Jesus Christ did. A couple years ago, Kay and I decided we had never seen the colors of New England in the fall. So we flew back to Boston and we rented a car and drove around the 13 states of New England for about 10 days, just looking at all the color. And in one of the little hotels that we checked into, as we walked in, we saw a family standing over here. And as we're checking in, I noticed they're like staring at us. You could feel like their eyes are burning in, staring at us. And So I didn't pay any much more attention to it. But then we went up to our room. Then the next morning we go down, and I go down to check out. And as I start to check out, the clerk says, "Well, sir, your bill has already been taken care of." I said, "By who?" He said, "By that guy." And evidently the guy had recognized us, and he had already gone over that morning and paid off my night's bill. I go, "You're my new best friend." So I went over and talked to him for a while, met him and found out what state he was from. And he listens to Daily Hope on the radio. And I'm just going, "You're my new best friend." Jesus wants to be your best friend. He's just paid off all your debt that you owed to God. Now, the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 18. "Now that sins have been forgiven, there's no need to offer any more sacrifices." You know what your problem is? Your problem is you keep trying to pay for sins that have already been paid for. You keep trying to pay for sins in your life that have already been paid for. Jesus Christ paid for every sin you have ever committed and ever will. He's even paid for the ones you haven't done yet, the ones you're going to do next week, next year, and in 10 years. When he paid on the cross for all the sins of humanity, he died for every one of them. There's not any that's left out. But so many people go around carrying unnatural guilt because they don't realize their sin has been forgiven. And in their mind, they're going, "You know, maybe if I just do this, then God will forgive me. Maybe if I do that, then God will forgive me. Maybe if I'm good in this area, God will forgive me. You're trying to pay for sins that have already been paid for. They don't need to be paid for twice. Jesus Christ paid for every stupid mistake I've made in life, every stupid mistake you've made in life, every sin, every error, every fault, every weakness. You don't need to pay for them. That's good news. He paid off the debt that I owed God. There is nothing more you can do. There's nothing more you can do. It's not like, well, if I do this thing now, God's going to smile at me and he'll kind of even the score here. I did all this bad stuff. I got to do this good stuff to make it even. That's not in God's mind. There's nothing more you can do. It's already been paid for. Tetelestai, it is finished, paid in full. All your sins have been completely paid for, even the future ones. All right, here's the fourth thing Jesus did. All right. Fulfilled God's promises, satisfied God's justice, paid off the debt I owed God. Number four, he defeated, this is a big one, he defeated the fear of death. On the cross, Jesus defeated the fear of death. And you know what? I've been in countries all around the world. You know what I've discovered? It's a universal fear. Everybody has a fear of death. You ever want to kill a conversation, invite some friends over to your house for a party and say, let's talk about death. See how far that goes. This is a universal fear. But when Jesus was on the cross, he broke the fear of death and the power of death. The Bible says this, Romans chapter 5, verse 17. The sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over us. But all who receive God's wonderful, gracious gift of righteousness, that's the gift of grace, will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. How did he break the sin, the power of sin and death in our lives? Next verse, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Jesus became flesh and blood, became a human being, by being born in human form. For only a human being, as a human being, could he die. God can't die. So he had to come as a human being. Only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he deliver those who have lived all of their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Let me explain something. If Jesus Christ had not been resurrected, you wouldn't have any idea that there's life after death. The only reason you know that there's life after death is because Jesus Christ resurrected. If Jesus Christ had not resurrected, you'd just be guessing. You'd have no proof. You'd have no knowledge that there's anything. At death, that's the end. It's over. You're done. The only reason you know today that there's life after death is because Jesus Christ resurrected. Now, let me just put this in perspective. Nobody else is resurrected. Jesus Christ is. A lot of times you read these books about people who die for a few hours and then they supposedly go to heaven and then they come back and they come back to life. That's not a resurrection. That's a resuscitation. Okay. Resurrection means you're buried in the ground for 3 days. You've been dead for 3 days and now you're resurrected. That's a resurrection. Nobody else is resurrected. And all those books about going to heaven, I saw this and saw that in the bright light, you can just throw them all away, okay? You just throw them all away. Just trust this one right here because there's only one guy who's been resurrected. You can get resuscitated. You can faint and I could resuscitate you. You can be in a coma and people get resuscitated all the time. Resurrection means you've been dead for days. And only Jesus did that. By the way, this whole thing here of defeating the fear of death, this is what Jesus, what baptism illustrates. You know, at Saddleback, we don't sprinkle or we don't pour water on people. We actually put people under the water and bring them back up. Why? Well, in the first place, the word baptizo in Greek means to immerse. That's what it means. But in the second place, it's the only way that you could picture a death and a burial and a resurrection. And the baptism represents Jesus dying, being buried in the ground, and coming back to life. And baptism represents that you are going to die and be buried in the ground and come back to life because of what Jesus did on the cross. Here's what the Bible says, Romans 6, verse 4. By our baptism, then, we were buried with him and shared in his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father. Now, there's the fifth reason that Jesus said, it is finished. And the fifth task that he finished is this. This is a big one. He destroyed Satan's power to control me. This is a big one. He destroyed Satan's power to control me. He did that on the cross. In the death of the Son of God on the cross, there's a cosmic battle going on between good and evil. And from a human standpoint, when you look at Jesus on the cross, it looks like evil's winning. It looks like evil is winning. It looks like Satan had won. And when Jesus gives up his spirit and dies, Satan goes, I did it. I won. I killed God. I won. But 3 days later, surprise, he's back. On the cross, Jesus cries out, shouts out, it is finished. Not I'm finished. It is finished. But 3 days later, Satan's going, uh-oh, I'm finished. I'm finished. Now, let me be frank with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't have his spirit in your life, you are flat out powerless against Satan's traps and tricks. You don't have any power at all. You have no power against Satan. You have no power against evil if you don't have God's spirit in your life. Now, the Bible says if you have God's spirit, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But you don't have any of that power unless you get God's spirit inside you. How does Satan manipulate you? He manipulates you through thoughts. He manipulates you through suggestions. And his two favorite ways to manipulate you are by temptation and by condemnation. Temptation, condemnation. What he does is he tempts you, goes, this is no big deal. It's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. Go ahead and do it. And he minimizes a sin of rebellion before. The moment you do it, he maximizes it. Goes, well, God's never going to love you again. Forget that. You're going to hell. Forget that. And on and on. And so he maximizes the consequences. He minimizes them before you do it. Temptation and condemnation. Now, notice what Jesus did in these verses. Jesus destroyed first the power of temptation. Colossians 1:13, God has freed us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He destroys that power. Second, he destroys Satan's power to accuse you. Satan can't condemn you anymore. Why? Because you're completely forgiven. If God's forgiven you, God likes you and you like you, Satan's got a problem. Colossians 2:15, God took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin. He can't accuse you anymore. And he openly displays the whole world, Christ's triumph at the cross, where your sins were all taken away. The cross was God's fatal blow to evil. The cross was God's fatal blow to Satan. He didn't even know what was going on. He lost his power. You say, well, it seems to me that Satan's got a lot of power today. Satan is living on borrowed time. His days are numbered. You know, if you go out to the desert and you see a rattlesnake or any kind of snake, and you cut off the head of that snake, the snake will still wiggle for a while. He's dead and doesn't know it. Satan is dead and doesn't know it. He was fatally wounded at the cross. His days are numbered. He's dead and doesn't know. He's cooked. And if you have accepted God's spirit into your life, inside you, Satan only has power that you yield to him. He doesn't have any power over you if you don't yield it. But if you yield him power, how do you yield him power? Through fear. That yields power to Satan. Through bitterness. Through anxiety. Through giving in to temptation. Yeah, you can yield power to Satan, but he doesn't have any power over you unless you yield it to him. Because Jesus destroyed his power to control me on the cross. Okay, let me summarize this. When Jesus dies on the cross and he says to Telestai, it is finished, he's saying, I fulfilled all of God's promises. I satisfied God's judgment so you don't have to pay, go to prison. I paid off the debt that you owed God. I defeated the fear of death. You don't have to be afraid. I'm not afraid to die. I know where I'm going. He destroyed Satan's power to control you. All five of these benefits are potentially yours. They're not yours yet. They're potentially yours. You just need to accept them. You need to accept these five benefits. Now, you know, I've been a pastor a long time. And I've actually talked to a lot of people who hesitate to accept God's gift of what Jesus did on the cross out of fear. And the fear is, well, I'm afraid that if I accept the Lord into my life, I won't be able to keep myself saved. Let me tell you, you can't. You can't keep yourself saved, but it's not your job. That's his job too. There's nothing left for you to do. It's not your job. It's God's job to keep you saved. Look at what the Bible says. This verse, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. You can be certain. This is not a wish. This is a certainty. You can be certain of this. God, who began his good work within you, will continue his work in you until it is finally finished, tetelestai. Finally finished on that day when Christ comes back again. God finishes every single thing he starts, including your salvation. That's included too. Now let me just say this. The fact of life is you're going to die with some unfinished business. There's going to be some things that you wish you'd done with your life that you didn't get done. You're going to have some regrets, some remorse. Not everything's going to get done. But there's one thing in your life, and it's the most important thing, that has already been finished. It is your salvation, because it was done 2,000 years ago. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says this, saving, being saved, is all his idea, God's idea, and it's all his work. You don't work for it. It's all God's work. Jesus did it on the cross. Saving is all his idea, all his work. All we do is trust him. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. Do you see now why I call this message, there's nothing more for you to do? There's nothing more for you to do? I mean, what if I took a paintbrush and I tried to improve the Mona Lisa? It'd be stupid. What if I took a chisel and tried to improve Michelangelo's statue of David? It'd be stupid. What if I tried to add to my salvation and make myself saved by all the good things I do? It would be stupid. It's the same thing. You can't add anything to it. See, what I'm saying is the difference between Christianity and every other faith. Every other faith is the difference between do and done. All the other religions have a list of do's, and they've all got their list of do's and don'ts, and even their secular religions have their do's and don'ts, and political correctness, and you do all these things, and you don't do all these things. But when it comes to a relationship with Christ, it's all been done, all been done. I'll never forget, many years ago, a guy up here on the patio after service came up to me, and he goes, Pastor Rick, tell me, what do I need to do to go to heaven? What do I need to do to go to heaven? And I looked at him and I just wanted to shock him and I said, you're too late. He wasn't expecting this from a pastor, okay? I said, oh no, you're too late. Oh, come on, tell me what I gotta do. You're too late. So what do you mean you're too late? There's nothing left you can do. It was all done for you 2,000 years ago. Tetelestai, it is finished. It's finished. There's nothing left for you to do. You can't add anything to it. You can't make the Mona Lisa look better. It is finished. I have just given you the death benefits of the death of Jesus Christ. Past forgiven, purpose for living, home in heaven. Past forgiven, purpose for living, home in heaven. Where are you going to get that from anybody else? There is no other place. There's no other place. You need to stop trying to pay for sins that have already been paid for. You need to stop beating yourself up, trying to atone for your own sins. You can stop hanging yourself on a cross because Jesus was hung on a cross for you. He was hung up for your hang-ups. All you got to do is just accept it. There is nothing more for you to do. Let's bow our heads. Would you pray this simple prayer in humility and in honesty and authenticity to God? It actually doesn't even matter the words you say as much as your attitude of humility and authenticity. But just say something like, say, Jesus Christ, thank you for dying for me. Say it in your mind. Jesus Christ, thank you for dying for me. Thank you that you paid off the debt that I owed God. Thank you that you satisfied justice. It's not fair for me to go free. I should have to pay for my sins. But you paid for them. You satisfied God's justice. Thank you for keeping your promise. God, thank you for sending a Savior to earth, because I certainly can't save myself. Thank you for defeating the fear of death, that I can know there's life after death because Jesus resurrected. And thank you that you destroyed Satan's power to control me. I don't want to be controlled by evil. I want to be controlled by good. So as much as I know how, I humbly say, I believe in you. I accept your gift. And I want to spend the rest of my life just getting to know you and learning to love you and being grateful for what you did for me that I could not do for myself. Thank you that you love me that much. I humbly pray this in your name. Amen.
If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime, or you can download the Daily Hope podcast on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Rick will be back in a moment with a final word, so please stay with us. We want to tell you about the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, by Pastor Rick Warren. In it, Rick takes you to the Bible for answers of 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of different biblical characters that face the same issues. He offers concise, practical, eye-opening insights that you can understand and apply right away, allowing you to move past hardships and experience a life of purpose and significance. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And over all that time, I couldn't count the number of people that I've talked to, and the number one questions that people ask, they've come to me, they come back over and over and over again. I've noticed that people tend to ask the same questions. All of these common questions have common solutions, and they're all found in God's Word. So I sat down, and I took the most common questions that I've been asked over 45 years in ministry, and I began to answer them according to Scriptures. And I wrote a little book called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. It provides simple, straightforward answers that you can apply right away. In fact, this will get you the answers to probably questions you're asking yourself right now. You say, well, what are those questions? Well, let me just give you a few of them. How do I cope with stress? Have you ever asked that one? How do I rebound from a failure? Have you ever asked that one? How can I be more confident in the crisis that I'm going through? How do I live above average? Why is this happening to me? How can I overcome loneliness? And how do I change the things that I want to change in my life? Well, I answer those questions in this book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. You'll discover the simple truths that God has given to us from His Word. And it's just my way of saying thank you for supporting Daily Hope with your financial gifts.
Let us send you a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Request yours today by going to PastorRick.com or texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004. 5004. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Today is the last day to get this great resource, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.